keep saying stand by.
That's recording.
All right. Tonight we're going to look at the unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15. The gifts, the many gifts of God are absolutely incomparable. There is such a greatness in the gifts of God that Paul was led to coin an inexpressible expression. Now think of that. An inexpressible expression. And I believe when he uses the unspeakable gift, he accomplishes that. To try to communicate in some way to us the glory of God's gifts. Now, I realize that when we think of gifts and we speak of it at Christmas time, where our mind goes to the kind of gifts that are wrapped and put underneath a tree or given to another person at some kind of gathering. Now, look, we don't know for certain when Jesus was born. December 25th is the date that most of the world uses. Eastern Orthodox and others of that persuasion, the Coptic Christians, they use a January date. I have read many articles that would put the date for the actual birth in October. And it can be very interesting to discuss these things, okay? But the fact of the matter is, the majority of Christian world uses December 25th. The important thing is that we are remembering that God gave us an unspeakable gift.
Yes,
okay? Whatever the date that a person uses, it's what happened on that date. That's when our salvation took place. Okay? That's when Jesus was born so that he could die. And we've all seen plaques and signs that say that, born to die. Jesus was born to die. And towering above all of the other of God's gifts to us is the gift of his Holy Son. And he is holy. God is holy. Just like on Bibles, you see it printed, a holy Bible. And Jesus is holy, and the Word tells us that. Now in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the what? Tell me. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now it's the gift of eternal life, but it comes with the gift that God gave, the unspeakable gift of his Son. Jesus is the best gift. The human heart yearns for love. Yearns for love. And many a person that may be considered as having dysfunctional conditions in their life and having maybe even to the point of counseling, what the need is for love.
Amen.
And maybe they didn't get it when they were a child. They still need love.
Right.
Or maybe they had a marriage partner and they felt that marriage partner didn't really love them. Or maybe they left them because they said they no longer loved them. The heart yearns for love. And the gift of Jesus, and through the gift of Jesus, we see love at its ultimate.
Amen.
We are brought to appreciate by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit the love of Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, John 15:13 says, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love the gift of love, God's love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for what? Our sins.
Amen.
Our sins is what separates us from God. And praise be to God. He sent his Son so that we would not have to perish because of our sin. And then there's the ever classic verse. Everyone learned it. They went to Sunday school. John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have
everlasting life.
I like the way our pastor explained the difference between everlasting life and eternal life. I never knew that. Pastor, that was a marvelous insight. I know it was common to you, but it was not common to us. And we sat there just amazed again. Okay, at what we learned. Now, that brought a memory back. When I sold potato chips for the family business, I went into an Esso station. Yeah, back way back then. That's what happens when you're as old as I am. An Esso station. And they had sold gasoline, and they repaired cars, and there was a fella that worked there, and we'd harass each other. And after I got saved, I thought I ought to witness to him. So I did. And I quoted John 3:16, but instead of saying everlasting life, I said eternal life. And that's when I found out this guy had a Christian background. Now, I don't believe he was saved, but he knew enough to tell me, no, that's not right. He said, you said eternal life, but it says everlasting life. So I knew, he knew enough. Okay, he knew enough. And so it is, we have everlasting life. God could not give any better than to give himself.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 says this. To it that God was in Christ. Now that's important. God was in Christ. This wasn't just some nice little baby that God decided to adopt and make his son. There are false teachers who teach that. That Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. He did not come from eternity. He did not come down to the earth and give up all of the glories of heaven. He was just a good little kid, a baby that God the Father decided he'd adopt. That's heresy.
Right, right.
The Bible doesn't teach that. And he tells us here in the 19th verse that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You and I have the word of reconciliation. We are the ones who need to tell other people about reconciliation. Okay? Now that's what you call witnessing. Okay? That's what you call sharing Christ. That's what you call soul winning. There's a lot of things you can call it, but the important thing is that we tell what we know to others.
Amen.
Good night. The least we can do is invite them to church where they can hear it.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Even more least than that, we can give them a gospel tract that tells them.
Yeah.
Oh my, I got a booklet one time. I don't know if I still have it when I moved, so many things went. But a booklet of testimonies. I think it was the American Tract Society put this together of letters they had gotten. People that found tracts laying on the street. One, I remember one, picked it up. Somebody threw it away. He picked it up and he read it, and God used it.
Amen.
To bring him to salvation. Other testimonies, the people that were handed a tract and they read it and responded. Oh, the circumstances vary, but the significance is that little gospel messenger of a small leaflet given gives the word. And you know, you never know what person was praying for that individual.
Right.
What person, look at, so faithfully on Wednesday, John asked prayer for his boys.
Amen.
Pray for our boys.
That's right.
Pray for our boys. Now you never know who might give one of them a gospel tract. Maybe to be a worker, with a church, just a caring Christian, give them a tract. You say, well, they've heard so much. What do they need a tract for? Listen, if that's the object God the Father wants to use to bring them to Himself, then we want God to use them.
That's right.
And so the least we can do is give out a gospel tract. This is a good time of the year. Get one that's got a Christmas picture on it. People are open to receive them. You go shopping to the clerk, you can give it. You know, you're standing in line patiently, right? Patiently waiting to get checked out. And somebody behind you is frustrated. And you know, you pick up a conversation and you can reach into your pocket. You have to have them available. You have to have them readily accessed. Okay? You can't go digging around to find it. And that might mean when you leave to go shopping, you need to put a shirt on that has a pocket. So you can have them in there. Yeah, well, I don't wear that kind. Well, what's more important? Somebody getting saved because you give them a tract, or you wearing the kind of shirt you normally wear? Think about it now.
Amen.
We need to be giving out the Word of God. Gospel tracts is a way to do it. Inviting them to church is a way to do it. And so God could not give us any better than Himself. And He said it in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ. Oh, that makes me think of Book of Matthew chapter 1, where the angel said that God was, Mary would conceive and she'd bear a child, and he called His name Emmanuel. God with us. Yeah. God with us. Could He give us any better gift than that? Of course not. And then Jesus includes all other gifts of God. If you have Christ, you have access and opportunity to all of God's other great graces. That's the gifts of God.
Amen.
The grace of God.
Amen.
The grace of giving. The grace of loving. How about the grace of patience? Anybody want that gift? Okay. The grace of patience. How about the grace of teaching? Huh? The grace of teaching. And so many gifts that God gives us. Not all of the gifts that God gives us are identified with the word G-I-F-T. But if it's a grace of God, it's a gift to us. He that spared not His only Son, Romans 8 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also, here it is, freely give us all things. That's the gifts of God. Freely giving us all things. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. Above. So anything good that you get, okay, I'm not talking about a gift that you give, you know, at Christmas time or some other time, but everything good that you get that's worth having comes from God.
Amen.
Jesus is the gift which improves all other gifts. The presence, and I don't mean P-R-E-S-E-N-T like the wrapped item, but the presence of one possession can add to the worth of all others. Now think about this. You may have a dining room hutch and a table, but chairs complete it, right? What would it be like to have a dining room hutch and table, but not have the chairs? The chair's complete. What about a great buy? Here it is, Christmas time. Sales, sales, sales. And you get a great buy on a video game. But you need the machine on which to play the game, don't you? I mean, you might as well. You don't need it. Well, then you wouldn't be buying the game, see? So, the one shaking their head, no, the other shaking their head. And so you need the machine. It's got to complete it. All right? The place of the family at Christmas. Now, we decorated. Okay? Just today. I didn't know when Pat would get to it, but today was the day. And I carried all the boxes down. I asked her which boxes she wanted, and she smiled and said, "How about all of them?" 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 boxes? No, 11. 11 boxes and 2 big tubs. Okay. Now, she promised me, okay, and I'm holding her to it. She promised me she'll get rid of some stuff. Now, she already showed me one box of things that she's not going to keep for next year. But we'll need more than one box. And she said, I won't do that till after Christmas. Then when I put it away, I'll decide what to keep and what not to keep. I hope so. But it looks pretty. It looks pretty, okay? It's nice. And I like when she decorates. And I love to tease her about it. But I told her, I said, it looks pretty. It looks nice. And I can appreciate that. And so the place of the family at Christmas. Family traditions. Now look, I don't think our American Christmas traditions should take the place of what God tells us in the Bible and what we remember from the scriptures at Christmas time. Family traditions should not take the place of them, but family traditions of themselves can be very enjoyable. And I don't think you have to feel guilty because Amen. Of family tradition Amen. That you have. Okay? It's just make sure they don't take the place of Christ.
Right.
And now I enjoy getting up Christmas morning. I've grown up so I can sleep longer. Okay? I'm not like a kid anymore that I have to wake up early. Though there are mornings I've woken before Pat and wondered when she was going to wake. So I like to sit in the living room and get gifts. I like to give gifts. Okay? But I like to get gifts. And I can get excited about opening gifts, okay, at Christmas. But before we open gifts, Mama always reminds we ought to sing a song. We ought to read some scripture. We ought to thank the Lord. You say, Mama says, yeah, I agree with it. But, you know, I'm like a kid. I want to get to the gifts. So, you usually have one strong one in the family. According to what the event is. And now you know who that one is. You thought it'd be the preacher, didn't you? That's what we mean when we say we're just human. We have weaknesses just like everybody else. You see, that's your problem. You put us up in a pedestal. Well, no, we do have a higher level and standard that we need to uphold, okay? But once in a while, we need help. And that's why God gave us our wives. Right, brother? That's why God gave Ruth Ann to Pastor and Pat to me. And oh, my. But, you know, just like chairs complete the dining room and a machine completes the video games, it's true that with the gift of Christ, all seems to be better because of Him. We value nature more because now we know the Creator. And we value people more because we know He died for those people. And though there can be the enjoyment, well, if you don't like the shop, this wouldn't be true for you, okay? But there can be the enjoyment of the hustle and bustle. I used to wait until the last 2 days to shop. But now because of this Kmart job, I can't do that this year. I have to shop earlier. So I have most, Mama's got hers all done. I have most of mine done, but I still have to do some. But I can't wait till the last couple days because I'm helping other people at Kmart who wait till the last minute. But you look at them people. You look at them people going through. Now we're in training, we're told when you see somebody, when you come within about 10 feet of them, give them a greeting. Tell them hello, you know. Welcome them to Kmart. And I love doing that. And people look at me like I'm crazy, you know. But it can be enjoyable because Jesus died for them people. We value the Bible more because Jesus is the person of the Bible, and we know that the Bible is His Word. And we value the husband-wife relationship, the parent-child relationship, the church family relationships. It was a blessing when I first heard Doug in men's prayer group, and he prayed and thanked the Lord for Black Creek Baptist Church and the place that he has found amongst the people. Now that's a good thing. And I wondered to myself, how many others of us, you know, have felt that way? And I know we have, okay? But maybe not think of it much anymore. He thought of it because it's new for him. And do I see Debbie having a hard time? Yeah. We need to pray for Debbie. Because I said to Pat last week, when we left church, I said, you know, not going to be easy for Debbie.
No.
Because this church is her family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now she's going to be having an additional family. Notice I said additional, not another. An additional family.
Sure.
We need to pray for her because that won't be easy, okay?
Right.
Doug says what he's found, and Debbie's thinking of what she's going to be leaving, okay? And so, but the point is, Jesus Christ makes a difference.
Sure.
If this were just church going, we wouldn't be here tonight.
Right.
People who just go to church for whatever, they don't come on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Even many a person that's born again, saved by the blood and knowing the Lord, too many of them don't go on a Wednesday night.
Right.
And I'm thinking there of churches that have a prayer service. Not all do anymore. But when you know Jesus, it adds value to all the other things that He gives us in life. Jesus is the gift which makes us givers. When we receive Christ, we are to become like Him. Are we not? Romans 8:29. It tells us that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's not talking about physically how He looks. That's talking how He acts. And the WWJD isn't, I mean, it was commercialized. I don't like the commercialization of it. But the basic question is, what would Jesus do? We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are predestinated to be conformed to His image. We're to act like Jesus. We're to respond like Jesus. The gift makes us a giver. Because we are to love with His love. It's true. People are a Scrooge that don't want to share at Christmas time. Now, we need to share other times. I know that. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Christmas time. We're in the Christmas season. And therefore, we need to give with His kind of love and giving. A self-sacrificing giving. Now, listen. I like to get gifts. But even if Pat didn't get me anything, I'd still like to give her gifts. Okay? And you say, well, what would you really feel like? That'd be a test of one's Christian life and walk, wouldn't it? If come Christmas morning, the only gifts that were under the tree were mine to her. Huh? And so we're to be like Christ. He had a sacrificing love. He gave without any expectation of what He would get back. Though He gave it so that we would give ourselves back to Him. He is a gift, not a loan. He is a gift, not a purchase. He is a gift which draws out of us thankfulness. Are we truly thankful for this gift of God? I would think we are. as I look about, see who's here, I would think we are. And let's just praise God for the work of grace He's done in us, whereby that could be said of us. Oh, maybe some need growth, you know, more in that area. But I'd be surprised if any here tonight did not feel but what they were thankful for the gift that God has given to us, that we remember at Christmas time. Father in heaven, only by your work are we able to know this experience. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, prayer requests. We'll take them now. Let's remember Becky Clayson. She is having her surgery tomorrow.
Third quarter.
Pardon?
Third quarter. Third quarter.